The Eagles bring home a win in week one, and week two is just a couple of days away with the season game opener against the Baltimore Ravens. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Eagles Green Zone. I'm Becky Brentsinger.
And I'm Bob Bumbara. You know, in that win at Cleveland, the Eagles looked good in a few things, not so good in a couple of others. We're going to look at what went right, what went wrong, and examine it as the Eagles get ready to host Baltimore in their home opener Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field.
And we're going to catch up with the rookie draft class and see how they bonded a little bit more at the rookie symposium.
And we're also going to look at the first region of the Field of 64 of the bracket breakdown on our way to finding out the greatest Eagle of all time.
And coming up, I check in with Mike Quick. All that and more here on Eagles Green Zone.
All righty, we welcome you to First and Ten. I'm Bob Bumbara, along with Eagles insider Adam Kaplan, former Eagle Dan Klecko, as we take a look ahead at what lies for the Eagles, their home opener, Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field against the Baltimore Ravens. Guys, Eagles coming off a narrow 17-16 win at Cleveland. Let's first, Adam, talk about the positive. Let's start off with LeSean McCoy, one of the few bright spots on offense.
Yeah, and Bob, I think when you look at LeSean McCoy, he's sort of the foundation of the offense. I think, in a way, it starts with him, gets him off to a good start, and the other thing is the offensive line guys got off to a great start. They got off the ball big time. Because after the preseason, I wasn't really sure because they didn't get a lot of time on the field. McCoy barely played. Vic barely played. But McCoy was tremendous. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards a clip. They seemingly couldn't stop him. And here's what I think. If the Eagles wanted to run the ball 40 times, the Browns couldn't stop them, guys.
Should they have run him more?
Here's the problem, though. They had... Look at all this play. 95 plays on offense. It's a game and a half, gentlemen. You know, I'm with you. With all the fans are saying, hey, why don't they run the ball more with McCoy? The problem is, at some point, you've got to say, are we going to be able to score? Red zone offense, we know, has not been great for the Eagles over the years. However, you've got some good young tight ends who can play, and we saw Clay Harbor score. That was a great pass by Vic. But at some point, you have to say, is enough running here? You know, we ran 95 plays. He ran the ball 20 times. What is that number? And the other thing about McCoy is he's been unbelievably durable. It's like a pitcher's pitch count. How many carries can he handle? You got to be careful because it was the first game of the season. He has 15 more.
Yeah, Shady, definitely a positive in the Cleveland game. Dan Klecko, maybe another collective positive was the Eagles' defense against the Browns.
Everything worked for them the other day. Everything was right. The run fits, the way they played in the secondary, everything worked right. The only thing I was a little surprised with was the fact that they didn't get that pass rush going. They couldn't get off on third down. That was the only thing that really got me a little miffed was the fact that wasn't the demons we saw coming off the edge in the preseason. So I look for them to get back in this Baltimore game if they can.
How about the play of DRC and Kurt Coleman, though, with two interceptions apiece?
DRC is, well, as much as it pains me because I love Asante, he's such an upgrade this year at that corner spot. You saw why he became expendable this year and why they could get rid of Asante is because DRC is so good at what they're having him do now.
Kurt Coleman, ironically, we learned a lot about Kurt from Becky. And Becky, you know, you gave us the insight last week. What do you have this week for us?
When I sat down with him last week, he was so adamant about defending his position year after year, and he did just that with two picks against Cleveland. But the big point about Sunday's game is how is the defense going to prepare against the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, that's the key because, Adam, this Baltimore team is not the Cleveland Browns. Let's start with that vaunted Baltimore defense.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting because they've had some guys who haven't worked out well. Sergio Kindle, second-round pick, had an unfortunate accident. He hasn't played. Terrell Suggs most likely will not play this year with his Achilles. However, I saw in that Cincinnati game, the pass rush was good. They were very, very disciplined, and they were physical. And then there's Ed Reed, maybe the best safety in the history of the National Football League, other than Brian Dawkins, of course. Bottom line is, got to be disciplined. Guys got to block up front. Vic's got to be disciplined because they take advantage of every opportunity. That's the thing about the Ravens' defense, very opportunistic.
12 penalties, they had 5 turnovers, Michael Vick with 4 interceptions. How were they so undisciplined in the game, in the opening game?
I get that it's opening game. They didn't play a ton in the preseason, like Adam said before, but still, there has to be a sense of accountability in that room on Monday. Somebody has to stand up, and I think it's something we've been looking for 2 years now, but somebody's got to stand up in that room, stand up in the front and say, guys, we got to be better than this. Because if Baltimore comes in here and we roll out the performance, that performance, it's going to look just like Monday night. They're going to hang 40 on us. We're going to be wondering what just rolled through here when Baltimore leaves.
Becky, you got more about the rookie class for the Eagles and the NFL.
Fletcher Cox recorded his first NFL sack, making a great debut in Cleveland. And he also spent time in Cleveland this past summer for the Rookie Symposium. Let's have more on that.
We're live here for the Play 60 Bus.
If you guys don't know, Vinny's a character. Vinny is a character.
I dare to be different, and you know, we just try to bring some of that Philadelphia Eagle spirit here with us today.
It's great getting to know him and his characteristics and the way he is.
This is Fletcher Cox. This is Brandon Boykins. And this is our linebacker, Michael Kendrick.
We play catch with the kids, and you know, we just told them to show us their best Eagle dance. You know, a lot of people were doing the party shady dance, and a lot of people were doing the jerk. You know, like Deshaun. So it was definitely a great atmosphere to be around.
How can we make you have fun?
What you want to do?
My two dudes up here ready.
Whatever you want to do, we can do it.
You know how to play slide? You know how to play slide?
You know how to play slide?
Let me see. Yeah,
I'm
going
to beat that slide.
Hey, you messing up.
Come on, Vita.
I killed it.
It's real hot out here. This hat got me kind of hot. Sweaty and all that. But it's all for the kids. Hey, listen, we got to come back. Come on, let's dance. Come on. We want to see your dance. We want to see your dance. With the cast on. Your dance with the cast on. Oh, with the cast dance. All right, Ben, okay, come on, okay.
Shady, stay in place.
Okay, sit. Go.
Oh. Where you going?
Come on, man. He messed up my completion percentage.
Oh, interception.
Hey, let me see your dad. Let me see your dad.
Hey. Eagles on three. 1, 2, 3, Eagles!
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. All right, welcome back, Eagles Green Zone. We're time now for bracket breakdown as we take a look at the field of 64 greatest Eagles of all time. Guys, we're going to take a look at the first region. I'm going to bring up a couple of matchups to you. First, let's take a look at the 8th seed offensive lineman Stan Walters against the 9th seed quarterback Troy Vincent. How do you look at that matchup, Adam?
Boy, Stan Walters, so underappreciated in this town, then became a broadcaster after he retired with Mel Reese. Probably one of the best offensive linemen in Eagles history. Very underrated. I'll tell you what, he was really good, but you know, Troy Vincent coming over in that Plan B free agency in the early to mid 90s, he might have been the best cornerback, you know, of his day. And then he became a safety, but boy, I think Troy Vincent was so much more impactful. You know, and the other problem is, guys, with offensive linemen, you know this, it's hard to measure that. I mean, there's what stats do you have in the 70s and early 80s when Stan played? It's a tough deal.
Dan, click out another breakdown here. We got a matchup between the 4th seed Tom Brookshire and number 13 Asante Samuel. Interesting guy. Any chance of Asante pulling an upset here?
No, I don't think Asante pulls that upset. I really don't. Especially with the way he left the city, I don't think he's going to be remembered so fondly. But still, look, he was here for 4 years. You know, he did some good things. He did. He was one of the best corners in the league. But you know, he never really got them over that hump, and that's really what he was brought here to do. You know, he got to the championship game in 08, but after that, there really wasn't much success.
Another matchup I like is John Runyon against Keith Byers.
Oh,
yeah.
Keith Byers, guys, here's an interesting story. You know, Buddy Ryan's the head coach. He's making the personnel decisions. Pre-draft interview, he's talking about, oh, Keith Byers is a medical reject. We don't want him. He drafts him. I mean, you know, Buddy.
Rope-a-dope.
Right, but that's Buddy. Right. That was before the internet and the explosion of TV. But bottom line is, Keith Byers was productive. He's really a fullback slash running back. I was impressed by him. I have to be honest with you. He was a little bit better than I thought he would be, old number 41, but I don't think he beats I don't think he's winning this competition.
I think Runyon's an all-timer for the Eagles. I know he spent that time in Tennessee, but when he got here, he really became one of the best tackles in the league. And the fact that at that position and the way he played it, he was a mauler, he was a tough guy. I mean, did he ever miss a game? This is one of the toughest guys in the NFL. The fact that he was here through all the success, all the NFC Championship games, went to the Super Bowl. John Runyon was one of the best players.
Yeah, but the Keith Byers hit on Pepper Johnson Monday Night Football. That's stuff of Eagles lore.
Bob, that's why you could look at him as a fullback, because he could chip, he can block. But Runyon, I mean, you got to be kidding me. Trey Thomas, Runyon, the best tackle duo in Eagles history, just tremendous. And you know, that helped Andy Reid be set up for success, because when you've got bookend tackles, you just get the quarterback. That's all you need. And you fill in the rest.
And that's the way you really want to build your team, is through your O and D lines. And the fact that, you know, that's really the hardest position to find. It really is. And the fact that you find those two, and you have them for a decade plus, and John was a huge stalwart for that, that's, to me, he's going through.
Well, you mentioned the offensive line. Now we're going to take a closer look at Eagle center Jason Kelce and his road to the NFL.
Hello, my name is Jason Kelce. I am from Cleveland, Ohio. My path started in high school when I attended Cleveland Heights High School, Cleveland Heights Tigers. In 10th grade, I was the lead actor in the school play of Pippin. Upon my performance, I was awarded a full scholarship to play football at the University of Cincinnati. For 4 years, I worked tirelessly as a linebacker before moving to offensive line. My diet, once I moved to offensive line, became that of McDonald's, Popeyes, and occasionally Skyline Chili. And then after my 5 years of college were up, I was not good enough to go to the NFL. I was walking down the street when an old man with bald hair and a full white beard saw me walking down the street and said I looked like Jeff Saturday. He asked me to come try out for the Eagles, and I was starting opening day. That is my path to the NFL.
Bob, I'm here with Mike Quick, color commentator for the Eagles radio broadcasts. Now, Mike, you're here in a different kind of aspect, and it's talk about your playing days, and we're going to brag a little bit. How do you feel about that?
That was so long ago. I hope you have some recall, because some of it I don't remember.
My favorite play back in 85 is whenever you caught the pass from Jaws to beat the Falcons in overtime.
Now, that one I remember.
Yeah. You were wide open running down the field. Nobody was around you.
You know, when you're afraid, you can run faster than just normal running. It was a very good situation for me. We were backed up, and it was really a play designed to just give us some breathing room. It's a skinny post. Ron put the ball right on the numbers, and when I caught it, I could tell that the safety had come over too flat and wasn't going to get me. I was a step ahead of the cornerback who was covering me, and at that point, it was just a foot race, and fortunately, I outran everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you did see me wide open and kind of celebrating a little prematurely, because I knew that I was going to score.
That's the best part, is the celebration, right?
It's kind of my signature moment, I think. You know, I think everyone has their signature moment in the league. That was kind of mine.
Right. Now, looking back on your Eagles career, what's the best memory that you have that will last with you forever?
Well, it's a little cheesy, but I have been asked this before, so I always know. I don't know the exact year, but I broke my leg in a game against the Houston Oilers on a slant route again. I went in, got the x-ray, got a cast on my leg, but I didn't want to sit in because it happened in the first half. I didn't want to stay inside and watch the monitor. I wanted to go out on the field and watch the game and kind of be around the guys. Well, when I came out onto the field, it was a standing ovation, and, you know, 65 or 70,000 people standing and applauding, and that to me was a real touching moment and probably the best moment of my career, just to have that show of appreciation by everybody.
Now, you're known as one of the most graceful wide receivers to play in the Eagles organization. Now, I know you ran track and played basketball, but how did you gain the grace and the fluidity that took you to 5 Pro Bowls?
I think all of these sports had a lot to do with it, the fact that I grew up as a kid playing everything. Played a lot of basketball. In track, I was highly ranked in track. You know, in the nation, I was one of the top rated hurdlers in the country at 19 years old. And I think really my track ground, probably as much or more than anything else, kind of helped a lot of the football and a lot of the running. And then basketball, you know, shielding people off of the ball. Like when I was in a jump ball situation, you know, having those basketball moves, I think they help a whole lot.
You played with Jaws and you played with Randall, two different quarterbacks with two different playing styles.
Yes.
How did that affect your game as a wide receiver?
Well, with Jaworski, you knew, or I would always know, that I'm going to get the ball. If I'm open, if the play's designed to get to me, I'm going to get the ball. With Randall, you didn't always know. Well, Randall came into the league when, at a time when he was young, and I already knew a lot about the game. He was learning the game, so I spent a lot more time turning around blocking for Randall rather than Jaws. Jaws was always going to stand there in the pocket, throw the football.
Yep.
So I had to make that adjustment and do the blocking thing. But I tell you what, it was a treat and an honor to play with both of those guys. They were both great quarterbacks.
Playmaker, go-to guy, and some may say poetry in motion. This is what people are remembering you as. How does that make you feel?
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, I think they could have looked at me in a lot of different ways that wouldn't have been cool, but that's pretty cool. I like that. Sounds good.
It sounds great. I want to be known as poetry in motion.
Well, I don't remember all of that, but it sounds good. You know, as you get older and as your career gets further and further in your rearview mirror, the stories seem to get better, so I like that.
Now, how did you parlay your playing career to your broadcasting career? Because now you share a booth with Merrill Reese, the same guy who called your games.
That's very interesting, and I love doing what I do now. Let me just start by saying that. And I think I was one of these guys that was always pretty friendly with the media, pretty, you know, open to talking to them most of the time. So I gained a strong relationship with a lot of the guys in the media at the time, and Merrill being one of them. And I think when that job became available, he asked the management at the radio station to see if I'd be interested in the job. And 15 years later, we're still kicking it in the booth. And, you know, I get to hang out with him and play golf, and very fortunate.
Well, we surely appreciate your time here today. It took some scrounging around to find the most hardcore Eagles fan. But we found him, and boy, oh boy, does this guy have some opinions. Take it away, E-Rock.
One down, 15 more to go. That's right, ladies and gents, your Philadelphia Eagles are 1-0. And yes, I know beating the Browns by 1 point is like spending an evening with your in-laws.
Was it ugly?
Yes.
Did you have fun? No. Was it uncomfortable?
Often. But in the end, you made it out of there alive. And a win is a win, period. But now the birds are flying back east to the nest. Grab the keys to the RV, fire up the grill, and put the beer on ice. It's the home opener, baby.
Where the Philly football faithful descend on Lincoln Financial Field to cheer on their Eagles.
And boo everybody else. And who is next on our tour day AFC North? That would be our good friend Johnny Harbaugh and his Baltimore Blackbirds. Crab cakes and football, that's what they do in Maryland. But around these parts, it's cheesesteaks and football. Because we eat like real men. I got bad news for you, Baltimore Ravens. Not only do you have to play the guys in green, but you have to deal with over 67,000 of the loudest, craziest, most passionate fans in all of football. Nah, you go ahead. Try running that no huddle in front of us, the home crowd. And your offense is going to get waxed harder than Joe Flacco's eyebrows. Oh, purple and black, those are appropriate colors. Because that's exactly the way you're going to leave, even after you take the jerseys off. Welcome back to Eagles football, brothers and sisters. And to the Baltimore Ravens, welcome to Philadelphia. We hope you enjoy your stay. Now get out.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF now for an appointment.
Region 1 of the bracket breakdown is underway, and Bob, I don't know about you, but let's get this tournament started already.
Can you tell I'm anxious? I feel like I've been waiting a long time for this. We got players from all kinds of generations matching up against one another, but we need you, the Eagles fan, to let us know
who the greatest Eagle of all time is.
And fans, make sure that you tweet us, because if you want to know about your favorite player, we can make that happen. Interact with us. For Bob and Vera, I'm Becky Brensinger. Thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
Improv everything. I'm not. Well, I'm going to tell the truth about the school that went through this, buddy. And my name. And upon that, I received a scholarship offer from the University of Cincinnati. All right, you got to start over now.